Hey everyone, welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. I'm Amanda Quinn, and in today's interview, I have the pleasure of interviewing the lovely Holly Perkins. So Holly Perkins is a certified strength and conditioning specialist with a degree in exercise physiology and nutrition. She is also the author of Live to Get Lean and the leader of the Women's Strength Nation. Holly is a contributing writer and expert for women's health, self, fitness, shape, prevention, men's health, and live strong. Holly's mission is basically to empower women on a personal and spiritual level by leading them into the weight room on a journey of physical strength. Shape Magazine has named Holly as one of the top trainers to follow in 2015, and you can get all of her tips and insights on Instagram and at hollyperkins.com. So welcome, Holly.
Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women. To help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hey everyone, welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. I'm Amanda Quinn, your head chick, and in today's podcast, I have a very special guest. I'm getting the honor to interview the lovely Holly Perkins. Hi, Holly.
Hi.
So for everyone listening, Holly Perkins is a women's strength expert. She is phenomenal. She's written books about it. She knows what she's talking about. And that's exactly what we are going to talk about today. We are going to dive deep into strength training and why it's so important, because I know you, Holly, are so passionate about this, because it's like, that's what you really like stand for, is like women's strength training specifically, right? Like in terms of health and fitness. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Why are you so passionate about it? Let's start with that, because I think that's really important.
I love that question. Thank you. Clearly, I'm like chomping at the bit to answer. I love it so much.
Yes, please.
I'm like a six-year-old that had too much candy when it comes to this conversation. And I just out of my mind. So I have been in the fitness industry my entire life, my entire career, now over 23 years. I've got a degree in exercise physiology and nutrition. And when I started, I worked in the fitness industry as a personal trainer in New York City, working with some of the biggest names in the entire world. And I then, thankfully and fortunately, I had a very successful career as a personal trainer. And I kind of stayed in it, right? My entire life, I was a personal trainer day in and day out for 17 years. And one day I woke up and I just decided that I needed a radical shift in my life in general. Of course, there's a much longer story than that, but let's just go with the short story for now. But
the cold
I basically woke up and I was like, shit's got to change.
Yeah.
So I fired all of my personal in-person clients as a personal trainer, and I rewrote my story. And at that time, and this was literally just a few years ago, I mean, what was this now? 4 years ago, maybe-ish, believe it or not. And part of why that happened was I had gotten to a point in the fitness industry as an expert and just as a as an expert and also as a consumer in the fitness industry, I got to the point where I was like, the system is wrong. And I decided that I wanted to shift away from everything that I had been doing. And the only way I was going to change things in the world was to get hyper focused and, let's call it, niched down into one conversation. And I found myself so deeply passionate about the experience in the world that we have as women, not just about fitness, not just about weight loss, but about navigating life. At the age of right before my 40th birthday, I went through right around my 40th birthday. I went through a couple of years of just really, really, really rough existential soul searching transitions. I went through a divorce. Turning 40 was terrifying. Being in the fitness industry, my beloved dog of 16 years died. I found myself living alone. I found myself like wanting a career reboot. And it was a personal and emotionally very difficult time as a human being and as a woman. And in that time, I was like, I have to dedicate my life to helping women feel strong. And that was how I changed everything that I focus on. And so for the past 4 years, my conversation is about helping women be strong through strength training. So it's a fitness conversation, but it really is so much more than that. We know from research coming out that strength training is absolutely critical to your health, not mm-hmm. just skinny jeans, not just getting buff, not just losing mm-hmm. weight, none of that, like to your health, your biological and chemical health, in terms of graceful aging, diabetes, adult onset weight gain, you know, type 2 diabetes, stroke, heart disease, all those things, strength training is being proven to be powerful in your health. Mm-hmm. And it's powerful towards your self-esteem, your sense of empowerment, and just your sense of being grounded and strong in life. And I think all of that sum total is why I've landed where I am today. And I'm just so passionate about this conversation and helping women everywhere be stronger.
No, I love that. And I think that that's really like, it's a really clear, strong message, because I think, you know, so many times people see strength training or exercise as very one-dimensional. Like they see it as just like, this is just something I'm using towards getting to my goal of, you know, I have my wedding coming up, or I have my skinny yep. jeans, or I have my pre-baby body that I want to get back, or things like that. And they're very focused on just the one thing. But if you really sit back and you dive deeper into why those things are, oftentimes you'll see that there are so many more layers to it. So it's like, yeah. you know, it's not just about like getting into your skinny jeans. Oftentimes it's because you want to feel more confident, or you have some insecurity around these things and all that kind of stuff. And so if you can find a way to find strength physically, I do believe that it does also, it increases your strength internally. I mean, did you find, like when you were going through all of this, did you find that you tended to really, you know, use strength training or use your gym time as sort of your therapeutical time, like in a sense?
100%. My strength training was the only thing that got me through it. And when you're in one of those just, you know, soul wrenching times, if you stay committed to your strength training, you start to see all the metaphors for life. I would go to the gym broken down, and by the end of my workout, I would feel hopeful again. And even just as simple as facing a challenging workout, all you can do is breathe through it and get through it. And that's a metaphor for life. So that is a big reason why this is what I focus on, because it is the only thing that got me through. Having, I think especially for women, we don't have an experience of physical strength. We are reared in the world that's a bit scary for us on a physical level, and we're not biologically built to feel strong. So we have never felt physically strong. And when you get to experience what that's like, it does transfer to all of the other elements and aspects of your life. You carry yourself differently. You confront confrontation differently. You feel more empowered in how you handle people in the world when you've got that sense of physical strength. So I really do feel that it transcends just the physical and breaks through to emotional and spiritual on a very high level. You show up different in your life when you feel strong.
No, I agree. I agree 100%. I think that, you know, there are so many times that you will, you know, the way that you sort of attack certain things, I guess, for lack of a better word, approach is probably a better word than attack, but the way that you would approach certain things, the way that you approach your workouts is probably the way that you'll approach other things in your life as well. Right. And so it's like, if you're going to approach your workout and you're going to sort of like just go for it and give it everything you've got, oftentimes you'll leave that workout and you'll do the same with everything else, because it kind of, it gives you that sense of energy around sort of like, I can achieve this, I can do these things, right? So it definitely shifts your mentality in that sense.
Yeah, 100%. I completely agree.
And so what would you say then for women that are listening now and they're thinking, okay, I want to get into strength training, but I'm still not totally sold. Like, what would be your top three reasons why? Like, if you had to choose three, I know that's hard because there are so many countless reasons why it's so important, but what would be sort of your top three reasons as to why someone who doesn't currently strength train should probably do it?
That is so hard to answer.
I'm literally
like, what am I gonna say? Okay, number one, everything in your life will improve as a result of improving your physical strength. Okay. Mm-hmm. You'll sleep better. You'll deal with stress and anxiety better. You will process carbohydrates better. Your appetite will change. Your PMS will be better. Your physical stamina and energy all day long will be better. Your risk for heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and obesity will be lower. Mm-hmm. Your aches and pains in your knees, hips, shoulders will be lessened. So everything in, you'll be better at your work. You will navigate pregnancy better. Everything in your life will improve from strength training. And that is not true when we look at other modalities of exercise, right?
That was going to be my next question, actually.
Yeah. No. So let's just say, because some people will just lump it in and say, be physically active, right? Mm-hmm. So simply being physically active doesn't do that. So if you engage, let's say, in just various forms of cardio, mm-hmm. your cardiovascular system is a very different system than your muscular system. Mm-hmm. So you don't get the same benefits. In fact, if all you're doing is a cardiovascular based fitness program, some of those things you won't get. You actually get often a decrease in metabolism because you're going through muscle wasting. You're burning off some of your lean muscle mass. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you're going to experience increased appetite, increased PMS, and an imbalance of hormones. So you don't get those, all those benefits from all the other modalities. Now, yoga is very beneficial, but you don't actually get an increase in physical strength, only to a certain degree because it's a body weight activity. So mm-hmm. you're going to get stronger in yoga or running to a degree, but it's beyond the degree of your body weight where all the magic happens.
Right.
And so that's why I look at it and I say, strength training is the foundation to everything. If you want to run a half marathon, start with strength training. And mm-hmm. running is a piece of cake. You want to get faster. You want to run farther. You want to enjoy it more. Start with the foundation of strength training. Yeah. Literally everything in your life is going to be better if you can cultivate a consistent practice of strength training. That would be number one. And that probably adds up all three of them. Number two, I think you say is this. So there is a very prominent fitness expert. And if I said her name, we would all know who she is. She pays a fortune in publicity. And so her name is everywhere. She has programming that essentially is focused on weight loss only. And at the end of the day, what happens is people who are successful with her program end up being a smaller version of themselves, right? So if you could imagine being a smaller version of yourself right now, okay? Because a lot of people have weight loss as a goal, or right. they have being smaller as a goal, right? They want right. to be in a smaller size jean. So right. many of us want to be smaller, whatever word you use to describe that. So if you can imagine right now yourself mm-hmm. smaller, there's part of you that is excited about that. But here's the thing. Imagine if you were smaller and your shoulders had beautiful shape to them. Mm-hmm. Imagine if you could restructure your glutes. Imagine if you could build your arms in a way that they actually look fit, not just smaller. And that only happens from strength training.
Right.
A lot of women they buy into this concept of just wanting to be smaller. Mm-hmm. But do you really just want to be smaller? I didn't. I eat smaller. My butt does not look good when I'm smaller. My butt looks terrible. I want to be, smaller, tighter, leaner.
I think you've been talking about this on Instagram lately.
I talk about all the time. I mean, you know, that's why I created the Glutes Project. Like, I'm obsessed with my booty, and I think a lot of people are, and there's biological reasons for that. But like, I didn't want to just be smaller. I wanted to be fit. I wanted my booty to be like impressive. I wanted my shoulders to be impressive. And that only happens from strength training.
Right.
You can't do that through a dance-based program. And that's just a little hint at the fitness expert that I'm talking about. I won't talk shit, but I'm just not a fan of hers.
Yeah. Yeah. So those we can talk about that after privately.
Okay. I'm sure you and I are on the same page about it if you haven't already figured it out, because listen, this person has come under scrutiny by everyone in the industry. I don't know anybody in the fitness industry that supports these techniques. And it's just, and I question whether it works, to be honest with you. But rather than going down that path, I'd rather say you have the option to have muscle, and it doesn't have to be big muscle, right? Mm-hmm. It can be the kind of muscle that you want that's just like solid and sculpted and definite and beautiful and fit. And that only happens through progressive resistance programming only.
Right.
So yeah, those are some reasons.
And I love that. I love that, you use that as one of your tips because as to why somebody should really get into this, because when you say that there are so many people that their idea is they want to be smaller, I think sometimes people confuse though what they really want. They think they want to be smaller, but really they use the word, I want to be toned. You hear that all the time in the industry. You hear, you know, for anyone listening, I'm sure it's probably come out of your mouth. I'm sure it's come out of everybody's mouth at some point where it's like, I really want to tone up. I want to tone this. I want to tone that. The way you do that is through strength training. You don't tone your muscles through cardiovascular training. You will get smaller, but you won't be able to build that tone and that definition that you're actually looking for.
Yep. The solidness, the tightness, the like, the leanness. You're absolutely right. And in fact, I've seen it, and we know through research that a lot of people will go after that through cardio. Cardio actually does the opposite, especially if you're doing the wrong cardio or too much cardio. You're going to end up softer. I have a private coaching practice where I work with women virtually around the world. And right now I've got three clients whom we've gotten them closer to their goals by taking them off cardio.
Yeah.
By taking out cardio, we're getting them to their goals, right? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times people don't understand cardio, you know, it gets thrown around a lot, but it's not, cardio is not the path to your goals. It's an important component, but it's not the path. Strength training always is, always.
Strength training, you should just have a shirt that says that. Strength training will make your life better. It's the only thing.
Strength training is where it's at.
Yeah. That's all you need to do.
Yeah, that's it.
Now, what would you say, like, in terms of what would be some, like, fitness blunders? So I guess that would be one. And I say blunders, but I just say, I guess, mistakes or something that people are just misunderstanding when it comes to their health. And smart women are doing this all the time. I think number one would probably be that cardio is going to get them to their results. What would be something else that you have seen, you know, over your years of coaching that people have been doing that are, you know, drastically affecting their possibility of reaching their goals?
That's a lengthy list as well. I'm going to start with a couple. This is really important. So, yes, there are several key misunderstandings that a lot of women experience when they begin their strength training journey. I don't even know where to start. So let's start with number one. First and foremost, this is critical. It is biologically impossible to bulk up under 6 weeks of strength training. That's the first thing, okay? Because a lot of women come and say, I started strength training and my jeans got tighter. My muscles bulked up. It's biologically impossible. You cannot create what's called hypertrophy any sooner than 6 weeks into a strength training program. Right. And my experience, I actually find it takes a whole lot longer than that for women. All of my coaching programs are 3 months long for a reason, because 6 weeks is nothing. So the first misunderstanding a lot of women have is, why did my jeans get tighter when I started strength training? And my answer to that is, first and foremost, you got to stick with it. Stay in there for the long haul. That's the first thing. Stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. Because there are biological changes when you begin a new strength training program, always. So I took some time out of the gym this summer. I got back in recently. My weight did not change, but my jeans were tighter. And I knew I didn't gain weight, and I knew it wasn't that, and I know it's not muscle hypertrophy. let's just leave it at, there are certain things that happen. It's essentially water repositioning that's happening. But my jeans got a little tighter and a lot of women go, ooh, I don't like this. This isn't what's supposed to happen. Strength training is a very different system and it works so radically different in your body. Mm-hmm. Start conservatively with just 2 workouts a week if that's where you're starting, and you gotta stick with it for a long time. And the longer you stick with it, you're gonna be amazed at the results. That's the first thing. The second thing, which is coming up a lot for the women that I'm working with right now, is mm-hmm. this happens for about 50% of the demographic that I work with, of women. I pretty much only work with women now, by the way. Mm-hmm. So about 50% of the women that I work with will begin one of my strength training programs, okay? Mm-hmm. Because not all strength training programs work the way mine do, but let's just say a strength training program.
Right.
And for the first 6 to 8 weeks, a lot of times there will be no body weight loss on the scale.
Right.
But there will be other indications of progress. And a lot of women will see all of the other indications of progress and the other metrics of progress, but they get hung up on that scale. They go, yeah. I don't get it, right? The scale is not changing. And mm-hmm. I cannot tell you how many testimonials I have from clients that go like this. For 6 to 8 weeks, the scale did not budge, but my clothes got bigger. Mm-hmm. 12 weeks in, I was down a pant size, but the scale didn't budge, right? 4 months in, I was down 2 pant sizes, and I only lost 5 pounds. So what people don't realize is that this system is going to make you smaller at a higher body weight. And so women get so hung up on the number on the scale, and mm-hmm. the scale is not accurate reflection when you are doing strength training. It just, like, get rid of it. Otherwise, you're going to drive yourself crazy.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm so happy you said that, because I always say the scale is not your friend, and it's not because it's showing you something that you don't want to see. It's because it is so deceptive. It's like a deceptive liar because it literally does not reflect your health. It doesn't reflect where you're at in terms of your goals and everything else. Like, I mean, I talk about this in a previous podcast, but even during my pregnancy, I didn't weigh myself. I had to, through doctors, they had to weigh me to make sure I was staying within a range, et cetera. But I stood with my back to the scale and I get them write it down and not even tell me. And I said, just tell me if I'm in a good range. That's all I need to know, is that I'm staying healthy and that the baby's healthy. Besides that, I haven't weighed myself. I have zero idea, like no clue at all how much I weigh, and it makes no difference. It makes no difference in my day to day. I think if I knew, it would make a difference, because I would probably start obsessing about it.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's not an indication of anything.
No, it's not. It's really not. But we've mm-hmm. been programmed, unfortunately. And you know, I just really want to honor and applaud you for completely disregarding your weight, because that's a big thing and it's so incredibly liberating. And I want more women to be able to try it out. Yeah. Something I always say is, imagine if you were a size 4 jeans and you looked amazing in your jeans, but you weighed 300 pounds. Yeah. Would you really care what the scale said? No, it's just a mind trip and it's not accurate. So focus on, are you smaller? Are you tighter? Are you leaner? Right? And where's your energy? Are you sleeping better? How's your mood? How's your appetite? All of those other 50 metrics that are so much more important, because mm-hmm. here's the deal. If you can focus on those other metrics and you can ensure that you are getting those other metrics, the weight loss will follow on the scale, right? Eventually mm-hmm. the weight loss is going to follow and you'll be there. But the truth is, like, women are incredibly intuitive and all knowing. And if you can just stop and take away that external feedback mechanism and say, am I doing good? Yeah. Am I making progress? Am I better today than I was last week? That's really the barometer, not the scale in your bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
No, good for you. Thank you so much for saying that, because I'm such a huge advocate of just like chuck the scale. So
like, I know.
That's kind of like what we say in our Fit Chicks programs, is just like get rid of it. Don't pay attention to it. If you really need to, go ahead and weigh yourself, but try not to do it every day, because if you do it every day, you're just going to probably make yourself crazy, because your weight's going to fluctuate every single day based on hormones, based on water, based on food, based on everything. So it's just, it's not worth it. It's not worth it for the mental aspect.
Yeah. I do think if you're able to have an objective and healthy construct around it, I will say that, you know, I want to honor the women who legitimately want to see a lower number on the scale, right? I don't want to disregard the women that's one of their values, right? So I think that there is a time and place for the scale, as long as you have a healthy mental construct around it. And I agree. I don't know that weighing yourself every day is productive or necessary. Mm-hmm. But if it starts to enter into that unhealthy mental territory, that's the time to step away from it for a while. If it's making you unhealthy, if it is your feedback in terms of how you're doing or your worthiness, not so good. But like, you know, I do have my clients weigh themselves, because in some ways on like a sort of like objective level, we do have to kind of know where you are. It's one of 50 metrics. And if you can think of it that way and not give it energy, it can be a useful tool as long as it's not disempowering you.
Mm-hmm. That's fair enough. I think as long as you can actually see it objectively, which to be totally honest, I find is probably one of the hardest things for any woman that I know that uses a scale doesn't use it in an objective way. But if you can, then all the power to you, for
sure. Totally. Completely agreed.
Now, what would you say? So for someone who's like, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to start working out, but I don't even know like what I should be doing. How should I start? How many times should I, what would be a typical week for you? Why don't you tell us sort of like, what does your typical week look like for you in terms of your fitness? And okay, I know that's a tough question, because you travel a lot, you're busy, you've got a crazy schedule, so it might be hard for you to have a typical week, but what would be your ideal week then for yourself?
So I kind of hear two questions, and I want to answer them a little differently, and I'll try to make it as short as I can. You know, the first question was for the woman who wants to learn strength training and isn't sure, right?
Yeah.
I'd like to answer that question because she's different than me, right?
Of course.
I'm hardcore. Yeah. I'm actually not hardcore, honestly. But I'm hardcore in my excitement and my experience of strength training.
Of course.
I'm not hardcore right now, unfortunately.
But what you do will be very different than what they are going to do.
Exactly.
Start out 100%.
And I'm happy to share what I do too. And so, you know, what I do, or what I encourage for the women who are just starting out, first and foremost is do a bit of research, find someone to help you.
Yeah.
Make sure that person helping you really is qualified. Check their credentials. How many years have they been doing it? What are their certifications? Like, find someone, and you can find someone reasonably priced as well, especially in this world of virtual training. But do your research and find someone who really knows what they're talking about. And find someone who's an expert specifically in the area that you're looking for,
right,
and get your hands on a program, because a lot of women will go into the gym and kind of arbitrarily do exercises, but it's really important that you have a program, because it's going to tell you the number of sets, the number of reps, the rest, the movement patterns, the volume, the progression as per your goals. Your body is going to reflect the programming that you're doing. So get your hands on a program. And that just is so critical. And if you are just starting, I really believe less is more for women. Start out with 2 days a week or 3 days a week, which is called a 2 or 3 day split. Okay. Let your body adapt. And then down the road, adopt a 4 or 5 day program. But going from 0 to 5 days of strength training is a lot for most bodies, and we don't adapt well. So when it comes to strength training, I always encourage women to be a bit conservative and let your body adapt over time, and then you can get more involved. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly what I did. So being in the fitness industry my whole life, I've always done strength training, but I never really started doing it right until I was approaching my 40th birthday. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, you know, I was always strength training, but I had no clue what I was doing.
Really? So when, I find that shocking.
Well, when you really look at it, like, I kind of knew what I was doing, but I wasn't effective and I wasn't successful in my strength training efforts, right? So when I really figured it out, it wasn't until I approached 40 and I really started doing it with intention, and I got my hands on a program, right? Mm-hmm. Even being an expert, I was kind of haphazardly, intuitively strength training. I would go to the gym and I'd be like, I feel like doing my arms today. And then I would go to the gym and I'd feel like, I feel like doing my legs today. And that's actually not an effective way to train your body for a million reasons. So I got my hands on a program. I let someone else, I was not an expert at strength training at this time. So I found someone who was an expert and I had them create a program for me. And I started conservatively, and over the past 5 years, I have 6 years or so, I have gotten more advanced in my strength training. So then to answer your latter question, what I currently do is strength training is the foundation to everything that I do. So it's my A number one always. I always make sure that I get my strength training workouts in. And then on top of that, I also have my cardio programming. I do yoga. I hike. I get out in my neighborhood and I walk. I do a little bit of jogging, sometimes more, sometimes less.
Yeah.
But specifically around my strength training, I currently am doing a 4-day split. So I take my body parts and they're split into four. I'm following, I'm doing a group coaching program called The Comeback. So I've got 40 women that I'm leading in this program.
Right.
And I create programming for them. I'm following that program right now.
Cool.
But it's a 4-day split where I'm doing leg strengthening exercises twice a week.
Yep.
I'm doing back strengthening exercises twice a week. And then I'm hitting all my other major muscle groups, chest, shoulders, and arms only once a week. And those, that is all split out amongst four different workouts. And each takes me about, well, if I don't talk to people at the gym and I don't answer emails, it probably takes me about 45 minutes. So I'm doing four 45-minute strength training workouts per week.
Yeah.
And then my cardio and my yoga is on top of that.
Right. Cool. See, and that's, I mean, the thing is, I really wanted you to share that, and I appreciate that you did, because I think that sometimes people think that they need to like dive in and go like crazy and do like 2 hours, and, or they think that if they do just, you know, half an hour twice a week, they're going to see these results. Like there's this skewed sort of idea of like what you need to do in order to get to your goals, you know, and also there's a skewed idea too of what fitness professionals do or what actors or actresses do. I just read this article the other day and it was saying that Juliana Hough, who is with the Dancing with the Stars, and she's got this amazing physique, when she was, I guess, training for some role that she was going into, that she was working out 8 hours a day. And so 8 hours a day of working out, which is so intense.
Was that while she was dancing?
No, it was, I think it was something specific.
Right, like, now, I know her and I know her trainer. That's not true. So you got to be careful with what celebrities say in the media, because a lot of times it's not true.
Oh, it she was her role previous. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, but anyway, continue. But yeah.
Oh, continue. But I was just, my point is, I just read that and I was like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. But I guess my point is, regardless if that is true or not, and I'm not trying to offend Juliana in any way, or her trainer, I guess it's just more of the idea that, you know, when you look at her physique or you look at trainers' physiques or you look at people on magazine covers, et cetera, people think, you know, they don't know how much goes into that. And the same thing goes with, you know, sometimes when you're starting out in your fitness sort of routine or whatnot, sometimes you think you have to go all out. You have to do 8 hours a day and you don't. So if you are reading those things, like I just quoted, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, that's what I have to do in order to get fit like her, I'm going to start doing that. Like that's not good for your body to be training like that. So I guess that's my point is, like, you know, what you were saying, get a program, find someone who can give you a program that works for you towards your goals specifically, and that is geared towards either introducing you into it slowly, integrating it into your life, or if you are someone that's a bit more advanced that just wants to change things up, your trainer will know that and be able to adapt it accordingly.
Yeah.
But you don't have to do 8 hours like the misquoted Juliana Hopkins.
Nobody needs to. You don't need to. And the truth is, I field a lot of phone calls where people will say, I'm doing so much, I'm doing more, harder, faster, and I'm not getting results. That is a tip off that you're not going in the right direction. And I will say, the vast majority of my clients, I accomplish more by having them do less. Mm-hmm. And so I agree with you 100%. When you hear those quotes of people who are working out long, 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 hard, 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 I wonder whether that was actually really necessary. Now, if we look at someone like, you know, somebody getting ready for a superhero role where they really radically change their body, that's a little different, but that's not you and me, mm-hmm. right? That's not necessary. There's a minimum effective dosage to everything. Mm-hmm. And with exercise, and women especially, if you go really far beyond that minimum effective dosage, you're not getting more and better results. You're really not. Yeah. What you're doing is you're just creating more stress and more cortisol in your body. Mm-hmm. And that actually has counter effects. And so, believe it or not, and you know, and I want to say this isn't really about me, but you know, I'm in my 40s and every single year I am getting so much farther and such better results by doing less and less and less. It's shocking. Yeah. What I'm doing now is compared to what I was doing in my 20s and 30s, and I look 50,000 times better, and I feel better, and I am better. Yeah, by doing less. And so, but I agree with you. You know, you also made a comment about how I think some people also think they're going to get fit by doing a 30-minute workout twice a week. And that might not work either for you. There is a minimum effective dosage, right? Mm-hmm. So like there is kind of a minimum, there is this range, but more, 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 faster, bigger, faster, bigger, faster doesn't bring better results all the time. Most of the time it actually doesn't. So I am so aligned with you on that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And to wrap this up, so what would be then your number one tip? So we've talked a lot about so many cool tips and ideas of how people can get introduced to this, but what would be your number one thing for anyone that's listening right now that's like, I want to get lean, I want to get strong? I think I know your answer, but what would be that number one thing that you would say, like, just if you could do the one thing to get lean, to get strong, this is what you need to do? Pretty sure it should just be what your t-shirt slogan should say.
I don't know. I would say
strength training is life.
I would definitely say, of course, do strength training. Of course, that's kind of assumed.
Yeah.
But more specifically to that, let's see. You know what I would actually say? This is what I would say, because this is important too. I also hear from women who start strength training and they don't reach all their goals, right? Here's the deal. You got to remember there's five components to fitness, and changing your body isn't only about strength training. Mm-hmm. And now I believe that it should be the foundation, but how you're eating is important. The kind of cardio that you're doing is important. Restoration is important. So fitness is not one modality, and you have five components of fitness. And so get yourself on a holistic program that, yes, has strength training, and there are important reasons for effective strategic cardio, and your eating has to support it. You know, a lot of people come to me, they get on the strength training program, but they're eating the popular diet trend of the day, and it's at odds with their strength training.
Right.
So keep that in mind, that the way that you're eating has to support your workout program. Because I see a lot of people going harder, faster, bigger, faster, and then doing Whole30. That's not compatible. Those are two different lifestyle choices, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's really important that you've got a holistic program geared towards your goals. Now, listen, if you're trying to heal allergies, Whole30 can really help you, but you're not going to want to be going harder, faster, bigger, stronger in the gym simultaneously, right? So get really clear on what your goals are and make sure that your holistic health program is getting you to that goal. And that includes, in my opinion, the three main pillars are cardio, strength, and nutrition. Those three things have to be addressed in unison.
Perfect. I love it. Well, thank you so much, Holly, for all of your time, all of your energy. I love chatting with you. Please, before we wrap up, tell our listeners, there will be links below for anyone listening, but tell our listeners too, how, if they want to get more information about your programming that you do, or just reach out to you in any way, how can they reach you?
So the best bet is to go to my website, hollyperkins.com. There's mm-hmm. tons of information and resources there. You can also follow me on social media. My Instagram is pretty robust, Holly Perkins, at Holly Perkins on Instagram. And in either of those two places, you can find me, send me an email, say hello, lots of resources in both places.
Awesome. That's perfect. Well, thank you again, Holly, and we will definitely be chatting again soon. But for everyone listening too, thank you so much for listening. Make sure that you leave a comment below. Let us know how you're doing with your strength training. And also, if you are interested in learning more about fitness or nutrition, make sure that you check us out at fitchicksacademy.com. Thank you again, Holly. I will chat with you soon.
Thanks, Bye. Guys.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.